desafio?
I think all of them in some way gave me certain peace of mind.
All right, lovely. So the vehicle, keeping with this, is a contribution, a very important one, to inner peace, to some peace of mind. Were you saying, though, that this peace of mind wasn't sustainable, then the old mind came back, and the old mind had with it these various doubts, am I getting anything from it? Okay. Where in your life, at the present time, does it leave you? You've done this, and this, then some confusion and doubts. Have you said, all right, I'll keep with my doubting mind, and I'll still steer clear of the MBS world. What's any final view, despite the doubts? Some people get, you know, a lot of doubts and confusion, and say, look, anything I do, it doesn't last 10 minutes. Why bother? And sometimes, why bother? It's costing me too much money as well. So then one is just left with the doubts and the confusion and no relief. Mm-hmm. Where are you? What's your relationship to spiritual life, shall we call it like that, at the moment?
No, I don't say it's all crap and I leave the MBS world. No.
No.
I mean, I'm definite in one thing, is that I'm in the MBS world.
Yeah, you're committed. All right, there's a connection. And it's worthwhile exploring, and hopefully this will encourage others who have not looked into these things to take a bit more interest, who are here. Some are just here first time in anything like this, you see, so your voice is important. Okay, go on.
I think it leaves me with a feeling that I think I have to choose and be committed to something.
So some of the teachers, I'm not one, but some of the teachers will say, look, if you're just doing different things, you're not digging deep enough, because you're trying this and you try this and try this. So then the mind says, the solution to my doubt would be not to keep doing different things, but to stick fully with one thing, keep with it, and that will solve my doubt.
I don't know if it'll solve my doubt.
No.
Maybe it won't.
It won't. You're right.
Well, I guess what you're meaning is I should accept the doubt.
No, we haven't got so... et cetera. What was the word?
Haven't got that far yet.
I mean, yeah, nothing to acceptance. It's a far too much overused word. I've lost interest in it. So there's a situation where sometimes we say, look, I want to find an answer to the doubt, et cetera. And sometimes, as you pointed out, and very openly, sometimes doubt is one of the hindrances, one of the difficulties that people have to attend to, and the doubts can be in other areas of life. The doubts about one's relationship, about one's job, about what one is doing with one's life. You know, it can go anywhere, doubt. It's very impersonal. It's a state of mind that can land on anything, etc. There. Forgetting the moment, for a moment, the doubt, is there anything valid about the doubt? Anything useful? Is there anything worthwhile in experiencing these doubts? Rather than saying, I don't want to have doubt, I've got to do this to get rid of them, could you look at your doubts and see them in a fresh way? Not intellectually, you know, you've got to do it from the old, down in the old belly somewhere, down here, belly or something. To look at it in a fresh way. Doubts are not all bad news.
Oh. Maybe it keeps me connected in a way.
With doubts. Yeah, you're right. But, not an easy question. Well,
it keeps the inquiry going on.
Hey, go on. I'm into inquiry. Carry on. All right. It keeps it. So it has some doubts. But we could say, my God, these doubts can be helpful. It means I'm not clinging and grasping to something. Mm-hmm. It's not making me narrow-minded. Mm-hmm. I'm not ending up as some orthodox MBS waller, etc. Hey, these doubts are keeping me from... Okay, so there's a benefit. What else? So one's not saying, oh, I've got to get rid of, I've got to accept. I'm saying, hey, this is grist for the mill. You know, Ram Dass, he's a great spiritual teacher of the in the US. He says, grist for the mill, meaning here's something to work with, something to look at, transform it. So one is, it saves you from clinging to something and getting petty.
Yeah.
What else? Sense of connection. Yeah, good.
Well, there's life in it, you know.
All right. Tell us about the life in the doubt.
Well, the doubt is like, the doubt keeps me moving on. Keeps me like, okay, going from here to there, or keeps me thinking or feeling or inquiring, as I say. Well,
yes.
It's more or less the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like there's more juice in it than just being in one place saying, okay, I'm devoted to this, I know this is my way, and just, you know, rest. But while I say it, sounds like quite a nice thing to have.
Funny that, isn't it? 5 minutes of talking, what was a problem is now a nice thing to have. It's the end.
But no, I'm saying the other
thing about
being like resting in one place and saying, okay, this is my place, I can, you know, rest here and go deep with this.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, okay, I enjoy the juice and the life of the doubt that keeps me moving on, but I think I can still keep moving on without the doubt.
Yeah, yes, yes. But sometimes there is a kind of fuel for something.
Yeah.
And if an aspect of that fuel is one has some doubts, then it's to be nourished. When I was a monk in the monastery, you know, when you're in the same place 7 days a week, morning, noon and night, with 100 people, that, and one wouldn't choose to live with one of them, one tends to have some doubts. All right. And the doubts can go anywhere. So sometimes one would go to talk to the teacher, this Ajahn Damodaro, and say, well, I don't know if the Buddha existed. How can I know? Why should I believe in the Buddha existed 2,500 years ago? You know what he'd say? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Well said, well said. Didn't say, my God, crisis. No, say, hey, have the freedom to feel doubt. So one aspect of it is inquiring, one aspect is it's keeping you open to exploration, there. Forget the state of mind of doubt for a moment. What's before the doubt arises? Here and now. There's a state of mind that comes doubt.
Yeah.
And then there's some interest. I want to look at this doubt. I want to look into it and see it in fresh ways. So I'm not trying to get rid of it, and I'm not just trying to accept it, oh, I'm just a doubting person. There's the experiences of doubt, and then some interest, as you were doing. Open up ways of fresh way. Before the states of mind of doubt arise, what's before the state of mind? Hard question, even harder than the others. What is so we get lost in our state of mind. So, you know, or we're going through a state of mind, we're calling it doubt, and the difficulties. Before that state of mind rose up, you say, oh no, here's doubt. I'm experiencing these doubts while I'm working with different practices and traditions. Before the doubt, what is it? What is that?
Could be certain state of being calm, calmness.
Certain calmness. So there's the doubt arising. But there's also a certain calmness just before, I agree. What could the calmness tell you? The doubt told you sometimes confusion, sometimes uncertainty, sometimes thinking I should just do one thing and keep strictly to it, or it told you, it's keeping me open, it's keeping me inquiring, and it's keeping me connected with a larger vision or something. What's the calm telling you? What does calm tell us?
Calm tells you...
Tells me.
I'm in the right place in the right time.
Hey! Great! Calm tells me I'm in the right place at the right time. What do you see from that? Beautiful thing to say. Beautiful, beautifully. You hit it right on the head there. Fantastic. I'm in the right place at the right time. Go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go on. Get more. Get more. We're all listening. I'm in the right place at the right time. Calm tells me this. What else does it tell you?
There's nowhere special to go.
Come on. He's going to be sitting in my chair in a month. Calm tells me I'm in the right place at the right time. There is nowhere special to go. It's beautiful. It's really, this is, you know, very
nothing
deep.
Nothing special to do.
Nothing special to do. This is very, very. Go on, sir. Profound teaching. Tell them.
Nothing else to wish for.
Yes, all right. So when we're calm, nothing special to do, nowhere special to go, and also no need to make demands on life, mm-hmm. in all the ways that we tend to, which comes out of uncalmness.
Yeah.
Right. So this calmness before the doubt actually is revealing some very deep truths to us. It's not just feeling, oh, I feel calm today. It's actually revealing something to us. Like if a lake is very calm, it will reflect the trees and the water. It will reflect fantastically the moon in its surface at the night, etc. It will reveal a lot. We can see into the lake if it's calm and it's clear. We can see fish swimming around and the nature in the etc. Very good. So how about letting that calm? How do you feel as you sit here talking? What's the feeling inside?
Nice.
What does nice mean? Nice means calm or?
Pretty calm. Yeah.
Pretty calm. Pretty good. All right. So sometimes with the state of mind, we, as you said, look at it and attend to it, called doubt, etc. We remember that before the state of mind arises, called calm. We feel this calm, it's not a theory, we actually feel calm. And we're receptive to it. And we see that perhaps the deep truths of life, which great teachers and teachings and saints and sages and prophets, past and present, keep reminding us of its profound significance. And you've just given all of us a great reminder. Thank you. So we'll have a minute or two of calm, and then I'll say anyone, and then another person may wish to come. I'll just say anyone in about a minute or two's time. Anyone who would like to come? Welcome. Hi. Yes, your name's?
Lihi.
Lihi. Yes.
It's my teacher. I wanted to talk about balance.
About balance, please. Yes.
I'm a newcomer.
Yes.
Never been to a meditation session.
No. All right.
Not really connected yet to the whole MBS, but starting to be. When you said MBS, I was actually thinking that you're going to say, like, mind bullshit or something. Something you said, the media was laughing or something. I kind of missed the connotation, but
yes.
Mind kind of
bullshit,
walking.
I like it.
Still walking the fine lines.
Yes, yes.
And I actually got connected into all of it through a back problem.
A back problem. Mm.
And Anat Scheinman was the one who treated my back.
Yes.
And kind of started slowly to show me the way.
Ah, right.
I don't think she's even aware of it, but kind of questioning, why do you have back problems? Why do you work so hard? And started opening up all the... And I do Tai Chi and I did some yoga. I'm in therapy, starting to ask the right questions. And what I'm asking is, you see all the people who are really connected, and people like you and people like Anat, who at the end of the day work with it and take it to the extreme.
Hmm.
And, you know, they don't get up in the morning and work 14 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of asking if there is any... If you can mix both things, if you can have both worlds, if I need to be either here or there, how do you balance being very calm? And that I just give you credit, but you weren't here.
Big credit.
How do you balance both worlds? I'm saying it because I'm starting to feel like I want to do the change, but I'm afraid of doing it because I'm losing things on the way. And I will never be a therapist and only do that because I enjoy my work. So,
how do you
balance both worlds? And it does take me back to what you said about love, about replenishing yourself. Because sometimes I'm exactly that person who comes home and crashes because I am so stressed out, and then I can vouch for my back just giving out because everything is. And I'm much better, by the way, because she did take me the distance. But
very good.
So that.
Tell me about life in the world, shall we say. What, if I may ask, what do you do?
I work for a high-tech group of companies with an entrepreneur who's just founding startup companies, taking them public or closing them if they fail.
All right, okay. And so that kind of work as a livelihood and as a career doesn't pose any ethical problems in any way. It's a work which you enjoy doing, and not destructive, not causing harm. So that aspect of it. So sometimes in the high tech world, as well as in many other fields and professions, what were some of the conditions that contributed to the back, which is very common, kind of under the pressure, or metaphorically speaking, so much on one's back, and the back begins to feel the weight, often mental weight, if not emotional, but mental weight. What were the sort of things that was going on for you over a period of time that generated you having to go and see another? If I may ask.
Well, yeah, you can ask. So physically, you know, sitting or working, and sometimes I would feel like I got to the point where at midnight I took my first breath of the day.
At midnight?
Yeah. I mean, I would
Good
breathe,
thought.
But I would not breathe. And she said, you're not breathing. You have to sit down every
breathe.
2 hours and remind yourself to breathe. Okay,
Very
now
good.
Why? Because you work under so much pressure.
Yes.
I can actually tell you the difference between now and then, because I still do the same work. I still work very hard. I do it differently in the emotional state.
Yes.
I just had to prove myself.
You're getting lots of new clients here, you know.
Yeah.
They'll be coming up to you afterwards. Have you got your card? Anyway, carry on. Did you ask her to come? No, sorry. Very bad. Very bad joke. Sorry. All right, so I absolutely agree. You can get to midnight. Some people don't get to midnight. Stephen Fulda, who's like the elder brother of the community here, he asked one 60-year-old woman, just giving a little breathing instruction,
to breathe.
Yeah, and what happened? She just took a few breaths. She started crying. She said, "I'm 60 years old. It's the first time in my life I've remembered to breathe." So sometimes we forget how important it is to remember to breathe. Sometimes we need people to remind us. And people getting a few reminders this evening. So what was the outcome of your remembering to breathe a number of times during the day? What came out for you?
It made me much more calm, but that wasn't the solution.
I mean,
that
of course
was just
not.
The technique.
A contribution.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think you have to work on yourself. You have to understand that you don't have to prove anything to anybody. You don't have to prove things to yourself.
Use the I language. It's easier for me. I don't have to prove anything to
anybody. Sorry. Yes, I don't have to prove anything to myself. I'm okay. I'm doing a good job. Most of the pressures were a fear of failing.
Right.
So once I solved those issues, I could feel better about myself, better about my work, closing the distance between how people saw me and how I saw myself.
Right.
Remembering to breathe.
Yeah, all right. All of that which you've just reported in that way is what teachings and practices are all about. They're about that. They're about finding wisdom in the face of what is happening, so that one genuinely can feel comfortable, clear, and present, well established, means here and now, so that in that, if we're getting pressure from others, we can say, oh well, this is pressure in their mind, which is being directed towards me, etc. And if there's something useful in it, one can hear it, and if it's just a lot of pressure, why don't you, you need to, you forgot to, etc. And rather than taking it so personally, one practices, remembers to breathe in those times as well. This is just coming from somebody's pressure. Similarly, of course, any pressure that comes either towards you or towards others, and taking the pressure out, so therefore there's a different sense of connection. In doing all that, I keep with the question of the balance for a moment, but doing all that, how's the back? How's and the rest of your life and the rest?
Much better. My
That's
back
better.
Is much better.
Good.
I'm still. I think there is physical things there, but which make me still make it perfect. But
no.
But I do calm myself when I get up. I do the exercises when I go to sleep, and when I sit here, I just remember
Good.
To breathe
Excellent.
and not be uptight all the time. So it's much better.
Lovely, and all that's a very important and valuable thing, obviously, for yourself. Just finally, with regard to that, is your life work?
A year ago, I would have said definitely yes.
Mm-hmm.
Workaholic by the book. Totally workaholic by the book. Today, I'm in a better place. I'm not all the way there yet to get released from being a workaholic.
All right. What would make a difference at this time? Well, if you say, a year ago, yes, I'm a workaholic. I've been looking at my life. I've been exploring who I am, my relationship to myself, to others. I've been using the breathing exercises. I've had good counsel, connection, worked on my back. But I'm not all the way yet. There yet from being freed from kind of tied into something or whatever, however you want to describe it. What would be further step or steps to for not necessarily changing job, but feels more free within it and around it? What do you see?
This is getting kind of personal, but
of course it is. Yeah. It's your life.
I think an inner feeling of being whole.
An inner feeling of being whole. And what can contribute to that? I mean, it's the most beautiful, exquisite, wonderful feeling in life, to feel a whole human being. And like I said earlier on, there's our intellectual, mental work, emotional life, physical life, spiritual life, all that contributes to a sense of wholeness, and love is an important link in the wholeness. What contributes to you feeling whole?
His calm.
Yes.
His knowing that he doesn't want to be anywhere else.
Yes.
Other than that moment. I was listening to that and I said, okay, I don't remember ever feeling that way yet.
Ah.
Or
yes,
hardly ever.
Yes, yes.
Feeling that way.
Yeah.
And I think that you come and you get there when you feel like you told me, this is what I have.
Yeah.
and it's enough.
Yes.
Don't need anything else. I don't know
no,
how to answer
that. No, you've answered it.
I don't know what will take me the extra step, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
I know where I want to be, I just don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
Slowly.
Keeping that interest open, the steps will come. Sometimes we do need the good connection, counsel with others, as you pointed out, various ways. All of that can nourish us. The steps begin to come. Freedom begins to come within work, outside of work, etc. That's what it's all about. Answer your question, don't bother with balance. Don't bother with it. You don't have to find balance. Nothing to do with it. It's kind of a sense of calm and freedom in the midst of life. Whether you're doing it through the workplace...
14 hours a day, whether or not...
What's 14 hours a day? Nothing. If you're happy and love and energy there and calmness there, then you say 14 hours a day, 18 hours a day, so on.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Thank you. So, just a quiet minute. We're just on 9:30. Just 1 minute of silent meditation together, just to finish. Being right here, right now. Not wanting, nor demanding anything from oneself, nor others. Being present to the living present. So that we can respond to life with calm and with love. May all beings live with a calm abiding. May all beings live with a deep friendship towards all. May all beings live a free and liberated life. Like to express thank you this evening for each and every person for coming and for the good team here at the Mind Body Center for the invitation there. There's a whole program that Amitabh put on of retreats at various times throughout the year that was mentioned to you. Do have a look at some of the leaflets and flyers if you wish, which are available, or in a spirit of openness, exploration and inquiry for one and all. Tomorrow evening I speak in Tel Aviv, and there was some talk, I'm not sure if it's happening, with a with a reformed rabbi. Is that right? A student of a reformed rabbi who's going to ask me some questions. But he won't get away without me asking him some. And where is that taking place?
What time?
And so if any of you wish to come, of course you're very, very welcome. And then the following day I return back to the UK. And also thank you very much for the donations, what we call the dana, means donations, in the tradition, which in a very real and practical way helps those of us who are servants of the Dharma to pay our bills. And your kindness in that regard is much appreciated as well. And to wish you all a very pleasant and safe journey home. And perhaps along the great way, perhaps we'll make some contact again. Thank you and shalom.